A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Off and rolling on a Tuesday, July 9, 2024 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show, that'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, what's the word, brother?
So, Gabe, is the parade going to begin on Beale Street?
I'm not sure.
Or is it going to end on Beale Street?
I have no earthly idea. I don't know. We should let Zach Eadie decide.
Yes, we should.
I think we should. And also, you know, what date are we setting the jersey retirement for? Right? Like, what date
is it too early?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me. You tell me. But, yeah, this is going to be... some people may say a day of overreactions to Grizzlies Summer League basketball, but Zach Eadie had a really good night. We'll get into Summer League before the Grizzlies, their first game. They ended up losing, but it was very fun to watch along the way. We have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We'll open there on Zach Eadie and everything else we saw last night. We also have some more Grizzlies news. Ja returns to basketball activities, completely cleared, and with that, I think we're due, because I didn't know this news was going to hit today. He's been doing basketball activities, but not fully. But now that he's cleared, should we do a top five John Morant moment thing tomorrow? I mean, it's July. It's July. It's a perfect time to get some audio out, give the people what they want, get them back in the mood to see some John Morant basketball. I think we're going to have to do that tomorrow.
I think we're going to have to.
I think it just seems necessary. We also have some Paul George stuff. His on Podcast P, he dropped sort of the idea of what the Clippers were doing in negotiations, and hint, hint, wink, wink, this was ridiculous. They didn't care. They wanted him to walk, it felt like. They were being very disrespectful, but we'll let you hear some sound, and we'll get to that. As far as guests are concerned today, Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian, he's a columnist there, and the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He'll be at 5 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock, it's the Daily Memphian Takeover, as we have sometimes on this show. Drew Hill will join. He is live in Salt Lake City. And the Grizzlies will be playing, I believe, at 6 o'clock. I don't know who's actually going to play, though, because they played extended minutes last night. So I don't know if they're going to sit people or rest people. But Drew Hill Will join us live from Salt Lake City. We'll hop into the Blitz at 6:30. We have Big 12 Media Days today. I don't know if you have been following along at least a little bit. Mike Gundy has made the loudest statement today because Ollie Gordon, his NCAA leading rusher last year, 1,700 rushing yards, got caught for DUI, got popped for DUI a couple weeks ago. And he says he's not going to punish him as far as suspension is concerned. We'll tell you what punishment he thinks is due to Ollie Gordon. And it's kind of ridiculous. And then we have Stephen A. Smith and a contract that may break the bank. I don't know. But that'll be in the Blitz at around 6:30. But let's start here. Zach Edey. I don't know how you have a better summer league debut than what Zach Edey did last night. Now, the Grizzlies ended up losing 97-95 against the Jazz. By the way, who the hell was going to tell me that they did the Elam ending in the overtime where they get to a target score? Target score was 97. Did anyone have any idea? Or was this just spur of the moment? Because I've asked people around the, you know, in Grizzly circles about it. They had no idea this was going to happen either. I think there's two types of people. People that had no idea the Elam ending was, you know, part of OT for Summer League, and liars. There's two types of people in this world. Those are the two types of people.
Or a third where you know people who work for the Grizzlies and they told you about it before Summer
League. So that was you.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
I'm option C.
But most of the people I've talked to from the Grizzlies had no earthly idea there was an Elam ending. They put 100 minutes on the clock to get 7 extra points.
It was really, if you had to keep up with it on the ESPN app, it was confusing because it just said 2 minutes overtime the entire time, but the score was moving and like plays were happening. It was very confusing if you were having to follow it on your phone.
I got to be honest. I know that a lot of people hated the final play where, you know, Zach Edey got called for a ticky-tack foul.
It was Deontay clean.
George
it was clean.
goes to the free throw line.
Foul
and knocks in two to win. I needed that game to end, though.
It needed to end.
It was.
Yes.
By the end, it's like, good God.
I went to the gym.
They should have just played a regular overtime period. It took 22 minutes to get 7 points on one side.
Came. I went to the gym, and I got there midway through the second quarter, and you know, I was going to run until the game was over. I ended up running for 3 miles because the game would not end. It's the actual regulation time ended when I was at a mile and a half. I ran another mile and a half because I was waiting for this damn game to end.
It ended.
It's finally
it
ended.
A while.
And it was lame ending, though.
Well, yeah, it was a lame ending. But honestly, that's how Salt Lake City Summer League needs a lame. That was a perfect ending for a Salt Lake City Summer League game.
It was a great reminder that, oh, none of this actually matters.
Like,
the scores of these games don't actually matter. It's
If I was the ref, I'd call the same thing. I want to get the hell out of there.
Right.
I'm tired of watching Keontae George just chuck and duck from everywhere.
Weren't
he scored
like
30 points in a
second.
There was plenty.
60, 63 fouls, something like that.
Yeah. Scottie Pippen Jr. had 7. Jake LaRavia had 7. Zach Edey had 6. Let's see.
Hell yeah.
Bryce Sensabaugh had 7 on the Jazz. Yeah, there was a lot of fouls. There's a lot of fouls. Now, beyond that stuff, beyond the nonsense that comes with Summer League, with the Elam ending and everything else, Zach Edey was very fun to watch last night.
So much fun.
I don't think that you could have asked for a better opening chapter to a you know, Summer League or Grizzlies career than what we saw from Zach Edey last night. 14 points, 15 rebounds. He had an assist, 4 freaking blocks. Now, he had 6 fouls because he was being a little bit more aggressive. But mind you, one was on the final play of the game, probably shouldn't have been a foul, and one was a technical because he was being an enforcer at one point during the game. He also, you know, tied it up at the end of regulation off a missed free throw, a purposeful miss from Jake LaRavia, a tip-in, because he's really good at knocking people around. It felt like it was weird down the stretch, and I don't care about wins, but in OT, they just, I don't know if they forgot how to make a post-entry pass or they were told not to make a post-entry pass. Either way, I digress. They didn't make anything. They didn't try to get Zach Edey involved in overtime. But as far as his game, he displayed a hell of a lot of good. And mind you, the reason I'm reacting this way is because, you know, last night, yeah, it was a Summer League game, but it was a little different for him because his matchup is against a third-year starting caliber center in Walker Kessler, who is 7'1", who was third in Rookie of the Year voting 2 years ago, who was on the all-rookie team, who has started a boatload of games for the Utah Jazz.
Second in blocks per game last year.
Second in blocks per game last year. Like, that's why the reaction is the way it was, because the matchup he had is not a normal Summer League matchup. Now, what did he show? Rebounding, at the highest of levels. 15 rebounds, four of them on the offensive glass. He just pushed around Walker Kessler or whoever his matchup was the entire night. Second thing, screen setting. My God, he could block out the sun if he wanted to. It's crazy the amount of space he was giving Scottie Pippen Jr. the entire night. And what did Scottie Pippen Jr. do with that space? 21 points, 8 for 14 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3. Got to the free throw line 7 times as well. So his screen setting, I was just like salivating over the thought process of him setting those exact screens for Ja Morant. It almost feels like if he's able to play the requisite amount of games and doesn't have to sit out a whole bunch, doesn't get injured, feels like Ja Morant ought to be averaging 30 points per game plus off of Zach Edey's screens, because it is crazy how much space he can create. His finishing, I thought, very good. He was 7 for 12 from the field. He missed a couple of bunnies, and he missed a putback dunk at one point. But at the same time, he's a solid finisher. Around the rim, again, ended with 14 points. The rim protection, I was thinking about this. 4 blocks, and he was a little more aggressive on that end. Him and Jaren are not going to be tested very much by opposing teams trying to get to the rim, get into the paint. Because that is a pretty interesting duo to deal with when you're talking about trying to get to the rim and put it in the bucket. I thought he showed toughness as well. He rolled his ankle at one point. Back in a couple of minutes. I mean, it was like a minute and a half. Of game time, gets right back in. He got a technical as well, tried to be an enforcer. And then I thought, you know, his tipping at the end, he showed some clutch ability. I thought he showed an insane amount of positives for one summer league game against relatively good competition on the other side.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You probably could not have asked for a better showing from Zach Edey, you know, unless he had put up 20 points as well. But I hope that we see him get the ball, if we see him get much more playing time moving forward. I hope that he does get fed the ball a little bit more, because even though he was 7 for 12, I think that all of us can agree that if he was getting the ball in those late game situations, maybe the Grizzlies would have walked away with a win there. But I find it very amusing, and I told you this off air when I first got here today, it's very amusing that the night of the draft, it felt like most people were in favor of the Zach Edey pick, but we did have a lot of people who were against it. And within one game of the Zach Edey experience, people are now screaming from the rooftop, throw the big fella the ball down low, right. Let him go
it's
to work.
Wild.
Let Edey cook is already spreading through Grizz fandom, and I find that very amusing. But no, it's last night. What was exciting about it, and I think that you brought up the number one point, he didn't do this against some random summer league big or against some random guy. He did it against Walker Kessler, and that's why I think that you are allowed to have some excitement tonight. Yes, it is the prototypical overreaction from the first summer
sure.
league game. Yes, we can all agree that part of that is happening, but this is very exciting because he did it against someone that has proven to be a real NBA body. He is a 7-footer that he was moving like water. He was moving him out of the way like he wasn't even there. On that tip-in play at the end, first off, what a shot from Laravia. That was an incredible setup for Edey, but they put Filipowski and Walker Kessler on him, and he just moved both of them out of the way as if they weren't even there, and he got to the rim. His impact for the Grizzlies, I think, is going to be awesome because he doesn't have to do it scoring the basketball. Last night, he did everything we wanted him to. He rebounded the basketball at a high level. He set screens at a high, high level, and he protected the rim. And those are the only three things he's going to have to do in the NBA during games. The bonus on top of that is that we know he's got a bit of a bag in the post, and he can posterize some people. That was fun to see.
Right.
He's going to certainly fit in with this Memphis Grizzlies team, that enforcer talk and mess and, you know, saying, I got you on your head and all that stuff. He's going to fit in personality-wise with this team as well. It was a really exciting night if you're a Grizzlies fan, because I could not stop thinking about how exciting it's going to be to see defenses have to react to Ja coming off of an Edey screen. Because they're going to have a few choices to make, and all of them are kind of going to be bad. Because Edey does a really good job at, he sets the screen, but he does it at an angle. And he kind of does the Draymond thing where when he's running back to get into position, he's just staying in front of that player because he's so big they can't get around him, because he's a planet that you're trying to get around. So he's creating more of a screen just by moving his body. It's not a moving screen because he's technically running back into position, but he's so big they're not going to be able to get around him. So Jaw's just going to come sprinting off of these screens right at a defender standing in the paint, and they can either jump and die, they can get out of the way and give him up an easy basket, or somebody's going to come over and over help, and guess who's standing in the
drop
corner?
It off.
Desmond Bane's going to be standing in the corner, and you can hit him for a three. It's really exciting what it's going to be able to do for the half-court offense of the Memphis Grizzlies. And we know in the past years that has been a struggle for this team. Not everything was perfect from the Zach Edey experience last night. There were still some defensive things that, you know, he was great around the rim. I like that he was able to recover from across the lane for a couple of those blocks. But you talked about drop coverage. Sometimes he would just watch a guy take a jumper right in front of him. Those are the things, though. Not everything's going to be perfect. But overall, man, what an exciting night it was from Zach Edey. Yeah, it really felt like he proved a lot of the doubters wrong because he didn't do anything spectacular. That's what I think that's what is exciting about it. There was nothing that was out of the ordinary or something that nothing that felt too that wasn't replicable by Zach Edey. Everything he did last night, you're like, yeah, this is kind of what you expected.
Yes, and then Jason March, I don't know if Jason March, the summer league coach, got to them and told them something, but like they went out of their way not to use him like he was used at Purdue. They went out of their way not to just dump it into the blender a million times and go let him cook at the rim. And then I thought there was a couple moments, and this is another positive, where, you know, he got some of those post-entry passes. There was one where he kicked it right out to LaRavia for an open three early in the game. There was one where he threw it out to Scottie Pippen, whereas, like, usually at Purdue it would be a repost, get the ball right back.
He got Kessler out of the way
and let Scottie Pippen Jr. go cook. Like, you saw some ability where he's going to keep his eyes up, keep the ball high, and be ready to pass out of the post in a normal game when you have Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, and Desmond Bane around you. Like, there is some real things there. Now, the negatives, like, it was what we sort of expected to be a little bit of a negative, right? Like, the drop coverage, he's a little too far back, didn't make much of an effort to go recover or close out on a shooter, and they were getting warm-up jumpers all day, and they made a lot of them. They were making a lot of them in you know, Zach Edey's drop coverage. So it was just open on contested jumpers. And then the other thing Jason March brought up after the game that I you go back and you look, you start to see it. And a lot of these screens he was setting a little bit too high. Like he was just a little bit too far out there to make a roll look nice. But he needs to be a little bit more definitive, more intentional about his rolls off of his pick.
Sure.
And get to the rim, go, run, sprint.
And this is no offense to anyone that he's playing with, but some of these issues, I think, he will benefit from playing with Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Marcus. NBA guys, I do think he will benefit from some of those things. Like, Ja will help him be able to position a little bit more. He'll be able to get that reentry pass a little bit more because there were a lot of situations where you could see him throw it out to a guard. And, you know, this is summer league. These guards are going to try to get theirs. They're going to try to go get their buckets. You know, we certainly saw it from a couple of the guys last night.
Shout out GGJ.
We'll talk about that in a moment, I'm sure. But in actual NBA games, if he has Walker Kessler underneath the basket, Ja's going to throw him back the ball. Like, he's going to set him up to try to get a basket there. So I think that, you know, it comes with summer league that there is a little bit more of selfish play, and I think that that's okay. Some of these guys we talked about it yesterday. They're playing for their NBA lives. They're trying to prove themselves. I understand that. Go get yours. So I think in actual NBA situations, he'll be used a little bit more on the offensive end of the basketball in the half court. But, you know, it's overall, I was just so pleased. And it felt like after that first quarter, everybody was like, oh, my God, the impact that this guy can have, it's not going to just be scoring the basketball. It's on the boards. It's screen setting. He set things up. He moves people out of the way. He's so damn big, he just moves people out of the way. It's like he has gravity, and they have to follow him. Like, his defender is going to be his moon because you have to go with him because he's so big. So it was really exciting. And I do think, though, we also got to give credit, you know, to a couple of the other guys. Scottie Pippen Jr., man, he was really good last night, and I am hopeful that moving forward that, you know, maybe we get another year of Derrick Rose, and the plan may be to make Scottie Pippen that backup point guard moving forward, because he's a gamer, man. He can really play.
He ought to be really around. Play. Like, he's a guy who can score, who can fill it up when he decides, and he's scrappy. But I think the biggest thing that he possesses, he doesn't turn the ball over a crazy amount. But his on-ball defense out there on the perimeter, he's a pest, man. He's in your face the entire game, and I think that that's valuable to have, especially when we're talking about Derrick Rose being the other point guard that he would be replacing. Yeah, really old, relatively young, more scrappy, a lot more good basketball in front of him than what Derrick Rose has. So I think going into the future, we'll see how that all works out. But I think you'd have to clear that roster spot before you do anything about converting Scottie Pippen Jr.'s contract. But I think he's a guy, like, he wouldn't be with this team this long. He wouldn't get this much preferential treatment if the Grizzlies weren't thinking about him being the next sort of reserve point guard on this roster.
Right. I expect Scottie Pippen Jr. to hit his cap absolutely with his Memphis Grizzlies game games this year. I think the plan is going to be backup point guard kind of by committee with this team. I'm sure Marcus Smart will take it in moments, and you know Desmond Bane has shown the ability to do it. Vince has even shown the ability to do it every once in a while. But I do think it will be Derrick Rose when he is able to play, but it's just we don't know how many games we're going to get out of Derrick Rose. I think that his value on the team goes far beyond his court, his yes. on-court play. So that's
it always
why
was that.
I'm totally fine with having Derrick Rose on this team. I think that it has a lot of meaning that goes outside of his actual play. But no, it's Scottie Pippen. I expect to see him in a Grizzlies uniform a lot. And then, you know, Jake.
Jake LaRavia. And you know the way I put this is wasn't perfect. He wasn't great.
No.
He was 2-for-8 from
second
the from
half
three.
Wasn't as
5
good.
5-for-14 from the field. Like his shot wasn't falling
fly,
in the second
though.
Half, but he was letting it fly. One thing that was just apparent, what did we say going into last night about Jake LaRavia?
Confidence.
I want to see him look comfortable. I want him to look like a third-year NBA player.
Right.
I thought he kind of looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like he looked like a guy who probably in certain situations may have played himself out of summer league. He looked comfortable, though. He looked like a real NBA player. And I don't think we had seen that in any summer league form from him previously. We only saw it at the end of last year. But he carried over relatively well, and that's what we wanted to see.
I just thought he was moving better. Like, he was more smooth than he had been in the past. So it felt like that the late showing of last season from Jake LaRavia, you know, I hope that it continues because there were signs of it during yesterday's game. The first half, he was much better than he was in the second half, but he still got to the free throw line at a high rate. He took 9 free throws. I think that was pretty good. Had 7 rebounds. He was passing the basketball. There were a few moments where, you know, he was running the offense. You know, Scottie Pippen Jr. would kind of take a break, and LaRavia was kind of running the offense. So I was impressed by him last night. I was like, okay, there still might be something here. I am okay with Jake LaRavia still being on this roster.
Of course.
I have doubts about him being a rotation guy at this point. But, you know, there were flashes of, okay, there might still be
11th or 12th player.
Right.
Right?
Our mind
yeah.
warp of last season
right.
still exists. But there still may be something there with Jake LaRavia. I was very pleased. You know, it was, even though the Grizzlies lost the game, who cares?
I don't really have no issues with that. I
found it very promising from a lot of the guys. I thought that Zach Edey was extremely promising, probably the most of the night. Then you had LaRavia. Then you had Scottie Pippen Jr. And
then you had
our guy Cam Spencer, baby.
Yeah.
I'm already
in love with the guy.
Playing with a full short sleeve shirt underneath like a lunatic. That's incredible. That's how Vince showed up.
Like where did
Vince showed up
that
with
was,
black
that was,
Air Force Ones?
That
and,
was
and
one
undershirts.
Of those camp T-shirts. You were forced to go to the camp because it was at your high school.
Yeah.
That was one of those old camp T-shirts he got
right.
that he had under his. But he's a damn gamer. He'll play great defense.
High
he'll
IQ.
Jump. He'll jump on the floor for you. He knocked down the threes. Like he's got
3-for-5.
He can really shoot.
He let it fly.
He
and
can
one of
really
them,
shoot.
He would have had another three, but his foot was on the line for
yeah,
one of the shots.
But
he would have been 4-for-6.
He can really freaking shoot, man. And
can really
he can
shoot.
Help in a lot of different areas. I liked it.
Did you hear what Edey said? When the game on the tip, Edey was not thinking about the
yes,
tip. And
Cam Spencer
was like, hey, Edey, use your big ass to get this tip in because they're not going to be able to stop you. And Edey was like, that's a pretty good idea. It worked
exactly.
out. Having him on the
All
floor,
right.
a winning player.
Now, I think there's only one negative last night, but it's not even really a negative. But
well,
I do think it brings up an interesting question for me about like where this guy's going to fit in rotation and how it's going to look. But G.G. Jackson did not. He was bad last night.
He was not great.
He was 0-for-10 from 3. he did not at all. One of the things we wanted to see was, okay, are you going to get your teammates involved? Didn't do that. 4 turnovers to only 2 assists. He was on the ball a fair amount. He was forcing shots.
Yeah.
I guess that is the moment, you know, in summer league where you feel like you have the ability to force shots.
Sure.
But you don't want to see him do that on a regular basis because that's a bad habit that can form and create and stick in your head. He just didn't look good last night, but it does sort of bring up the question for me, like, when he's not getting the volume or the minutes that we saw him get last year in his great stretch of basketball, what is that going to translate like? What is that going to look like? In a rotation off the bench, because that's where he's going to be coming from, how exactly is his role going to be carved out on a full-strength Grizzlies team? That's something we have not really addressed. We just sort of assume that he'll fall into line and figure it out.
My hope, I think he will for the most part. You know, he has shown when he is playing with the actual NBA team and a full roster of guys that he can find his role pretty well. Like, I never really felt he was overshooting last year in any types of moments. In this one, it felt like he was like, I'm probably the most talented guy on this floor. I'm going to put it up and see what I can do. And it just, he was pressing, he was forcing some shots last night. I don't think it's indicative of his game overall. I don't think it's a warning sign necessarily of things to come. I just think it was a bad summer league game from G.G. Jackson. Yeah. He was trying to do a little bit too much. It wasn't all negative. You know, unfortunately, the playmaking just wasn't there almost whatsoever. But, you know, he was still aggressive. And at the end of the game, he was trying to get to the basket a little bit more. And he still had some flashes of like, holy crap, did you see that? But he was rebounding the basketball well. He played good defense. He just wasn't able to put the basket in. He took 10 threes, which was far too many. I think, though, if he's in an actual NBA rotation, when he is, he will probably settle into his role. But his role will be come off the bench and try to fill it up, shoot the basketball, but pick your spots. And I just think with actual NBA guys out there, he'll probably pick his spots a few more times. It's in that late. It didn't help that in that overtime in the fourth quarter specifically, there were just so many moments where he would have the ball, and Edie would have his guy completely sealed off, and Gigi was like, I'm throwing it up. It was one of those where I was like, throw it away. I don't think it's indicative of
Gigi. Down the stretch, like, as we got into OT with the Eli Manning, he was just moving at this frantic pace.
He was trying to end the game. He was trying to have the hero moment, which I totally understand. It was, to me, it was a young player who was extremely talented, just got a little bit out over his skis, but we've seen him come, you know, bring it back a little bit, rein it in. I'm sure that the coaching staff's going to be like, hey, man, let's maybe pass the basketball a little bit more. But I think G.G. Jackson's going to be just fine.
Yeah. Now, the Grizzlies play another summer league game tonight against the 76ers. It'll start at 6 o'clock. It'll be on ESPN and ESPN+. I'd imagine, I don't know if Zach Edey's going to play. I don't know if the main guys are going to play. I would imagine some Timmy Allen minutes or D.J. Jeffries didn't play last night.
Totally forgot he was on the Jeffries, team. He's, cut to him. He's DJ's there.
We'll probably get some minutes from him. I can't imagine. Like all the guys last night that they really wanted to feature played like 34-plus minutes.
They played
Zach Edey played 34 minutes. I don't know if they're going to want to, you know, especially in Salt Lake, I don't know if they're going to want to throw them out for another game where they're going to play 25 to 35 minutes. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It is a game where if Edey played, he should be able to eat. Because they got McCain. It's kind of it. They don't really have a big that I think would be able to compete with him. So I don't know. I hope we get to see some run from the guys, but if we don't, I'll understand.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It'll be a lot less than last night. I can guarantee that much because obviously OT game and, you know, they were in it the entire time. But it just makes sense after last night, 22 minutes worth of overtime, probably sit down the guys that you you want to give preferential treatment to and let some of these other guys get some run. Let them fight for their NBA career. Let's see if DJ Jeffries can give us a little bit. I'll be interested to watch that. But let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day. When we come back, we have to get into some more NBA news. One on the Grizzlies, Ja Morant has returned. He's going to be doing all his basketball activities. And then we have some Paul George Clippers drama that has been brewing since the beginning of free agency and really the beginning of last season when they did not get an extension done. But we'll talk about all that next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. So Ja Morant is officially cleared to resume all basketball activities. I think people are hyped up about that. I think people should be hyped up about that. It's been a while since we've seen him on the floor. We had one really big moment last year from him, and that's the Pelicans where he hit the floater to go win the game. But he ended up putting out a tweet earlier today. He said it's go time, and I guess he replaced the I with a colon because time, whatever. But he's ready to go, it sounds like, and he's rearing back. I think tomorrow we're going to end up doing our top five Ja Morant moments now that he's cleared. But it gives some clarity to where we're headed this offseason, to now have him completely cleared and not have to worry about his injury anymore. That shoulder, really, at all. He's passed the suspension. He's been relatively quiet. He's been out of the public eye. Everything seems to be trending in the right direction, and I don't feel wrong saying that.
No, not whatsoever. It's the rebirth of Ja Morant has begun. I cannot wait to see him back on the basketball court. I'm very excited that he's going to be able to work out with the team, specifically guys like Zach Edey over the summer, fully healthy, you know, doesn't have any restrictions against him. It's just great news. We can now put, it feels like, that season behind us fully and move forward because everybody at this moment appears to be healthy. They appear to not be suspended from anything and ready to go. So I'm really excited for the Grizzlies just to be able to ramp up as a basketball team as one together because it feels like it's the first time in a very long time that they've been healthy and ready to go and they can actually work together during practice. So it bodes well for the upcoming season. I'm really excited and it feels like he's locked in and focused. Like you know, this summer from Ja Morant and everything that we've seen post suspension, I think is everything that you were hoping to see from him. It really seems like he is trying to take a leadership role with this team. He owned up for what he did and he's trying to grow as a person because we've talked about it. He was a young man that was given a lot of money. He made a mistake.
Out over his skis a little bit. I get it.
But it doesn't need to define him. And I like that he's not allowing it to define him. And he is saying, okay, this is the actual Ja Morant. This is who I was. Let me reintroduce you to Ja Morant. That's why I do think that people around the league, man, they've kind of forgotten how damn good he is. They really have.
Of course. Yeah, when you have the absence of something like that for so long, like it's hard to really wrap your mind around the type of entertainer he can be and the type of, you know, player and you know, leader he can be in those
winner.
Moments.
He's a winner.
It's just hard for people to, you know, wrap their head around it when you haven't seen it in so long. But I will say this, just generally speaking, one of the biggest topics we had throughout the entire Ja Morant saga is like, even more so than actually changing your ways, which I think, you know, for the most part, seems like probably has. I don't have, like, full-on, you know, proof of that. But it was about moving differently and staying out of the public eye and not trying to put everything on social media. And you just don't see that from him anymore. Like, it's just so quiet. It's quiet. And I think that's the most welcome change of the entire thing. Just move differently. You just have to when you're a celebrity of his status.
Well, it really does feel like, too, he's tried to pour himself into the community. And I think that that's a great thing. You know, he has taken this time to try to reconnect, I think, with himself, but also with the community. And that's exactly
that
what I was
hoping.
That
helps you reconnect with yourself, too.
Right.
Yeah. So that's been nice to see. Now, also, this is sort of a new little bit of a Grizzly story. We had some Mikal Bridges. Some Mikal Bridges sound. He basically was talking in a Knicks press conference because he just got traded to the Knicks for a bunch of different picks and everything going back to the Nets. But he said that he was at Desmond Bane's lake house. Let's hear what Mikal had to say today. Hopefully. Maybe. Is it not playing?
It is playing, but it's for some reason the audio
is
coming through.
It's quiet.
It's really quiet, yeah.
Okay.
You know, there it goes.
There we go.
Buffering.
I actually saw one of my close friends, Desmond Bane, and I was actually with him. You know, we was chilling by his little lake house and just chilling with his family and stuff. And then the news broke, it was pretty, I think it was dark outside or something, but it was crazy. You know, it was wild. He's just over there just screaming from far like, yo, did you see? I'm like, this is crazy, so.
Yeah, the dark outside thing kind of made me laugh too. I know I heard you chuckle. It's like that's you know people just adding random factoids.
That's when
in there.
You need more words in your document in your assignment.
You're loading. Yeah. Exactly. I hear what you're saying. You need more. Your word count needs to be right up on that 5-page essay.
But the funniest part about this is Desmond Payne's response.
Desmond Payne responded and he said S was crazy. Somebody else ended up. I guess a Grizzlies fan came in and said, "Why couldn't you bring him to Memphis, man?" And he said, "What do you think I was trying to do?" This has been such an ongoing conversation though in Grizzlies media and Twitter for the last 3 years.
It's no secret.
Is trying to go get Mikal Bridges because everybody on the team seems to be relatively close to him, and Desmond Bane probably the closest.
Yeah.
And just couldn't make it happen.
I mean, they offered 4 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. They tried to get it done.
Well, but 5, and then Bojan Bogdanovic got it done.
Right, that got it done.
Yeah, so I don't know if the Grizzlies were willing to throw that
probably
much in
not.
There.
Probably
it
not.
It wouldn't have made a whole lot of sense to throw that much in there. And I wonder if this offseason was finally the offseason where the Nets, you know, there was going to be an asking price that was going to be enough. I know they ended up getting a lot for him. But I wonder if, last offseason, they really weren't even as open for business as they tried to claim.
You mean only winning 30 games showed them that they can't build a team around Mikal Bridges?
Although we knew going into the season that they would only win maybe 30 games.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably less is what I would have put.
One of the more interesting things, though, from this presser that I was thinking about is, why are these players not finding out first? It's so weird that Desmond Bane knew about the trade before Mikal Bridges.
Clearly it was Woj noties probably hit, where it's like, why do they have to find out on social
media?
It's
so odd,
though. It feels like that line of communication should be open, man.
I feel like the player should probably know first.
Yes.
It's like the team that gets him finds out first.
Yes.
And then the second person who finds out is the player.
Now, I will say, I wonder if Mikal Bridges, because it sounds like through the process he had plenty of back and forths with, you know, the higher-ups in the front office with the Nets. And he told them that he wanted to be a Nick. So I wonder if they had talked
maybe
earlier
it was assumed
in the day, then it got done, and it was assumed it was going to get done.
Maybe so.
But still, you should probably call him when you execute the trade.
It is,
call the damn guy so he doesn't have to figure out through Woj and Shams.
I do wonder if maybe this answer, too, was a strategic, no tampering type of answer as well, because maybe that was where he knew that he was already a New York Knick from maybe some of the other guys, and he couldn't reveal that. So he had to. I wonder if when Desmond Bane was like, man, did you see this? He was like, oh, man.
That's crazy.
I can't believe I'm
wing,
a New York Knicks.
Yeah, no way.
I just have this group message with 3 of the guys on the team right now. But, yo, this is crazy.
Yes. Can't believe my life right now.
I can't believe
this is my life.
It was dark outside, but he could have gotten in the lake and done the LeBron thing.
Yes,
I can't believe my life right now. This is crazy.
Yes. Now, I think it's disrespectful they didn't tell him ahead of time. But no, it's even more disrespectful what the Clippers did to Paul George through his contract negotiations. He was on his podcast P, and I'm just going to play a part of the segment where they talk about the starting point. What was the first offer the Clippers gave you, Paul? Tell me.
What was the negotiations like with the Clippers to let you know that, hey, I'm leaving y'all and I'm going to Philly?
Just to put it out there, I never wanted to leave L.A. L.A. is home. This is where I wanted to finish at. I wanted to work as hard as possible to win one in L.A. Like, that was the goal, to be here and be committed to L.A. As it played out, though, the first initial deal was, I thought, kind of disrespectful, right? And, again, no hard feelings. So the first initial deal was 2 years, 60.
What?
That's crazy.
2 years, $60 million for Paul George's services. A max type player, a guy who's an all-NBA performer multiple times in his career. A guy who's been on the floor more than Kawhi Leonard, who you paid 3 years, $160 million to last offseason and gave him the extension. That's the guy that you lowball? The more reliable of the two superstars that you got to try to go get a championship is the guy that you want to give 2 years, $60 million to. This is embarrassing to me. And I'm not blaming this on Steve Ballmer. I don't want to blame this on the Clippers organization fully, because they're trying to save money. They feel like this thing wasn't going to work and they wanted to find their way out of it somehow. But don't lowball him like that and disrespect him in that manner. That's insane. Now, he went on to say, I didn't want to play the full clip because it's like 4 minutes, but he went on to say, after that, they went back and forth. He was inching the Clippers up. He still wanted to stay. Then he asked for the same contract as Kawhi, which again was like 3 years, $160 million, whatever it was, that extension. They denied that. They said, no, we're not going to do that. So then he came back and said, I want 3 years, $150 million with a no-trade clause after the season. After the season, 3 years, $150 million, no trade clause. They said no to that. So then he said, all right, just give me the max 4 years, $220 million. Didn't happen. End up doing the sign and trade. They end up sending him all the way to the 76ers, and I think he makes the 76ers a completely better team. He puts them in a very, very nice spot where I actually feel like they have a chance in the Eastern Conference to match up with the Celtics potentially. But this, what's so surprising about this, when you have a player of Paul George's caliber, we have just become used to, over the years, the organization bending the knee eventually and just throwing the max at him. Because what's the conversation we always have, right? It's like, if you don't give it, somebody else is going
to
give it.
You have to pay him.
You have to. It just surprises me that the Clippers did this, lowballed him like this, and don't really have a plan going into the future about how they're going to strengthen their chances in the Western Conference. Because strengthening their chances in the Western Conference, quite frankly, I'm not saying they would have won a championship, but it would have been signing Paul George to one of these deals. Same as Kawhi, 3 years, 150, whatever, max. We've just become so used to the player getting his way that this surprises the hell out of me. And to start at 2 years, $60 million.
That's crazy.
I can't believe, honest with you, I can't believe Paul George continued to negotiate with them after that.
Well, that's just, it's not negotiating in good faith. It's like, what are we doing?
It's very bad faith.
It's like, why start here? Like, y'all could have just gone a little bit under the max if you wanted to, if you wanted to begin the negotiations there. You could have proven a point maybe by doing that, but 2 years, that's crazy.
At $30 million per?
That's a ridiculous offer for Paul George.
Based on his max, that's at least $25 million under the max. Under what he should
he
be.
He was probably like, is there a typo here? Yeah. Like, is there a typo here? He said
within the entire podcast that he kept negotiating with them, even after giving that deal. But to me, that deal should have told him everything he needed to know from Jump Street. And he should have probably said, all right, get me out of here right now. Let's get this going quicker. Let's move this along. You don't want to pay me what I'm worth. Let me get the hell out of here.
The Clippers had a very curious offseason, or at least beginning to free agency. Just very odd. Like, you know, lowballing him and offering, getting Kevin Porter Jr. It's like, what are we doing over here? What's the plan?
Well, they have the new arena that they're going to deal with, and they have a lot of different, you know, money ventures behind the scenes with that entire organization. But in the end of the day, Connor, who's their owner? It's Steve Ballmer. He's the most rich owner in the NBA. I don't think that offering Paul George this type of money, getting into a luxury tax situation, I don't think it would affect them that much. They have a guy, probably one of my favorite owners in sports, who will take and hire his front office, give them all the resources to go make something happen, and he'll trust them. And then if they say, hey, go write this check, he'll write that check.
Right.
So I don't understand why there was ever a need to lowball him in that type of way. It just seems foolish.
They shot themselves in the foot, it sounds like. It's an odd strategy. I don't understand the strategy around it. Because did you think he was going to see it and go, you know what, hometown discount? Like, yeah. You know, no. It's not what he's going
to
do.
What's worse for them is it sounds like he was willing to take a hometown discount.
Maybe so.
Because 3 years, $150 million with that no-trade clause was slightly discounted compared to what he could have actually gotten. I think even the Kawhi contract, I don't even know if that was the full max of what Paul George would have gotten. He just asked for that same contract. So he was willing to take a little bit of a discount, but they were wanting to take advantage of him, it sounds like. And that just seems insane to me. And now he's with the 76ers, and their chances to compete in the Eastern Conference, to compete for a championship this year, I believe in them substantially more than I ever really believed, at least after year one and how I saw it all end, than I ever really believed in the Kawhi, Paul George,
yeah,
all that Clippers. Like, I believe in this 76ers team with Paul George more than I ever really believed in that team.
I just have no idea if Kawhi Leonard's going to be healthy again. That's just, you never know. You don't know how long you're going to get from him. And that's why it is the irony of him going to the 76ers, though, is he is going to another superstar who is often injured in the playoffs. But I do think it will work out better. For at least he plays.
Joel Embiid will be injured, but at least he gets on the court.
Sure, yeah. He might be out of shape, but at least he's going to play basketball. No, it's just, I would understand the Clippers maybe offering that deal to Kawhi Leonard post-contract, which they're like, hey, man, you haven't been playing basketball, but here's a deal we can give you. We'll give you $30 million a year. But the guy that has been there that has actually been playing and competing for that team, it just felt disrespectful to offer him that type of contract. Listen, I understand that we're talking about $30 million a year, but let's be honest about it. Paul George is worth that contract and more.
He's worth way more than 30 a year. That's foolish stuff. That's basically what we're talking about with like Kristaps Porzingis. That's what Kristaps Porzingis makes. Do we put Paul George and Kristaps on the same level? No,
we don't. I got two quick NBA stories for you real quick. Say that again. Klay Thompson today, just tell me if this is a correct statement that he's making. He thinks that Kyrie and Luka will get him cleaner looks. He said, I don't think you can stick to me as much as you could do in the past with guys like Luka and Kyrie out there. Does Klay Thompson forget that he played with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry?
Yeah, he's thinking about recent memory, maybe. Maybe I can give him recent
memory
the last few years. Maybe, but like, buddy, your whole career has been being wide open because you've had Steph Curry next to you. And you've also had a coach who has been able to scheme you open every step of the way.
Right. I understand he's hyping up his new team. He's excited to be there. Overall, I think Klay had a pretty good presser. But this is one of those comments where you're just like, oh, come on, man. Like, we don't have to pretend. We all have eyeballs and watched the last decade of Warriors basketball when you're running around open off a screen.
Buddy, you scored 60 points on 11 dribbles. You don't do that without being wide open when you get the ball most of the time.
That's very true. And now,
that's a foolish thing, but he's trying to hype up his new team. Well, also, I think, you know, the last 3 years with the Warriors have been way harder.
Sure. Sure, I will agree with that. I do have a Grizzlies thing for you, though, that has popped up.
Okay.
We are in July, so we are social media watching in major ways to try to get our sports news
Absolutely.
And theories. Luke Kennard has some movement on his Instagram today in the direction of the Grizzlies with two different things. One, he liked an Instagram post from ESPN.
Oh, my gosh, we're really
That had the Memphis Grizzlies starting lineup of Ja Morant, okay. Desmond Bain, Marcus Smart, Jaren, and Edie. He liked that post, but more importantly, he posted his new child on his story today holding a Memphis Grizzlies basketball.
All right.
And the logo is very clearly facing the camera. It can't be bad news.
No, but in the end of the day, anybody you talk to that's in the know about the Luke Kennard negotiations, there has never been any other hint that he's going to go elsewhere. Now, we could all be wrong by the end of this whole thing. He could sign vet minimum somewhere.
Two-year, $30 million?
Or something ridiculous. I mean, he may get, like, this massive contract last second from the Rockets. I have no idea. But everything points to Luke Kennard wanting to stay in Memphis and wanting to be a Memphis Grizzly at a discounted price. And I am fully of the thought that will happen here in the next couple of weeks, and we won't really have to worry about it that much.
I subscribe to the theory that they are trying to create room for him with another player and maybe get off of that contract before they figure out the deal for Luke Kennard.
I wonder, because I think the easiest answer to go get the money to go pay Luke Kennard for an extended, contract, I think the answer right now would be waive Zaire Williams and defer some of that money down the road, have some savings on this year's cap number, then pay him the amount of money that you're going to pay him. Like, that seems like the easy answer, but I wonder if they're trying to execute a trade to clear that.
Probably so. Yeah, they don't want to have a Zaire Williams day every day or every year where he walks to the mailbox and he takes out a.
It would be like three. He's over, what, $6 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like 3 years, do two a year. Just don't defer $500,000 at a time.
Right. I just think that they would prefer not to do that. So they're trying to make a move. And then Paul, I don't know if you saw it, but Paul Reed, he got picked up. So he's off the market. So I agree with what Parker's been saying. I think that their plan right now is probably Trey Jemison's going to be your fifth big. You still have him on the two-way. He'll be around. You know, he can give you the minutes when you need them. And then they're trying to make room and figure out how to get Luke Kennard on this team while moving off of Z. I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
Right, but I am fully of the thought, I think most people are, Luke Kennard will be a Grizzly next year. Because, again, the more you have to have some smoke before something happens.
I would also think someone else would have signed him by now. If That's he wasn't going to come back
you
to the Grizzlies.
You have to have some smoke before something else happens. And I don't know about you. The amount of reports we get in free agency on every player. I mean, I don't like just no-name players get reports written about them. Oh, the Phoenix Suns are interested in Omer Yurtseven. You know, it's like that's what you'll see. I've seen nothing about Luke Kennard except for Grizzlies.
Right.
Just absolutely nothing.
And again, Jake Fisher. You better be right, bro.
Jake Fisher.
My guy, you better be right. You better be right. Your legacy's on the line.
His legacy is on the line.
Legacy on the line.
But can I be honest? Is your legacy really ever on the line if you're like an aggregator or a guy who's trying to break news? Because you could be wrong and people – it's like you don't really use – unless you are egregiously wrong, you never get held accountable.
Here's what I'll say. To a certain fan base, I think it could be sometimes. Because if you get two things wrong back-to-back like this with one fan base, they will no longer trust you. It will completely – like. It, with what happened on draft night, if it is followed up by the incorrect Luke Kennard
where he said report, Jared McCain was going to go at 15 to the Heat, yeah. And it was Kelly
Oh,
Ware.
No, no, I'm talking about when he tweeted out that the Grizzlies were making a trade with the Charlotte Hornets,
that,
and we all
too,
believed
yeah,
that we were getting Donovan Clingan. And
that.
Then
he was
reported
all over the place.
That Luke Kennard and the Grizzlies are in discussions, they want to come back at a discount and all this stuff. So, you better be right. You better be right. Because y'all also have the D for Edie, too. We're not going to forget that either.
The legacy is on the line.
It's on the line.
I will say that. And our girl Kristen Peake on the Zach
Edey
thing.
Man, did Grizzlies fans go after her last night.
Can I just let this be known to all the people out there that are going after her? Let it be for now.
Just
I don't think you can brag after one summer league game.
Let's do. We could have. I mean, I may be planning a parade, but y'all need to relax.
Right, yeah.
I'll plan the parade. Y'all need to relax. Y'all have taken it far too far. Yeah.
I mean, can we just like? Listen, if he had like two preseason games back-to-back that were good, I can even give you like a pass. But like just one Salt Lake City Summer League game, I don't know.
If he's doing this like 10 games into the season, if he's averaging,
yes.
Yeah, go.
Sure.
We'll release the hounds.
But like there's bookmarks, you can keep receipts,
right.
You can do all that.
Take
but
the
like
screenshots.
After one Summer League game, I get people are just trying to have fun, but damn.
Her response was pretty dumb, though.
I didn't see her. I didn't see her.
She said that she didn't see it because she was busy watching real NBA talent at the U17 FIBA stuff. It's like, what are we talking about here? Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
Interesting strategy.
Yahoo. You're in the crosshairs, Yahoo.
Interesting strategy. But it was kind of funny looking at her grades for every first-round pick. And, again, for those that don't know, and I don't know if we've laid this out, Kristen Peake, Yahoo Sports NBA draft analyst. She's their lead NBA draft analyst. She had Zach Edey as a D. Everybody else was A or B. Everybody else.
It was the most shockingest list I saw.
Shockingest.
He also dropped that. It was a rough night for Yahoo.
Yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. Let's go ahead and grab a break. And then when we come back, we will go ahead and get into hour number two. And leading off hour number two is my guy from the Daily Memphian and also from the Jeff Calkins Show. That's Jeff Calkins. He's next.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fisher. You better be right, bro.
Jake Fisher.
My guy, you better be right. You better be right. Your legacy's on the line.
His legacy is on
legacy
the line.
On the line.
But can I be honest? Is your legacy really ever on the line if you're like an aggregator or a guy who's trying to break news? Because you could be wrong and people – it's like you don't really use – unless you are egregiously wrong, you never get held accountable.
Here's what I'll say. To a certain fan base, I think it could be sometimes. Because if you get two things wrong back-to-back like this with one fan base, they will no longer trust you. It will completely – like – it, with what happened on draft night, if it is followed up by the incorrect Luke Kennard,
where he said report, Jared McCain was going to go at 15 to the Heat, yeah, and it was Kelly.
Oh,
Ware.
No, no, I'm talking about when he tweeted out that the Grizzlies were making a trade with the Charlotte Hornets,
that,
and we all believed that we were getting Donovan Clingan, and
that.
Then
he
reported
all over the place
that Luke Kennard and the Grizzlies are in discussions. They want to come back at a discount and all this stuff. So you better be right. You better be right because y'all also have the D for Edie too. We're not going to forget that either.
The legacy is on the line.
It's on the line.
I will say that. And our girl Kristen Peake on the Zach
Edey
thing.
Man, did Grizzlies fans go after her last night.
Can I just let this be known to all the people out there that are going after her? Let it be for now.
Just,
I don't think you can brag after one summer league game.
Let's do. We can have. I mean, I may be planning a parade, but y'all need to relax.
Right, yeah.
I'll plan the parade. Y'all need to relax. Y'all have taken it far too far. Yeah.
I mean, can we just like. Listen, if he had like two preseason games back-to-back that were good, I can even give you like a pass. But like just one Salt Lake City Summer League game, I don't know.
If he's doing this like 10 games into the season, if he's averaging,
Sure.
We'll release the hounds.
But like there's bookmarks, you can keep receipts,
right.
You can do all that.
Take
but
the
like after one Summer League game, I get people are just trying to have fun, but damn.
Her response was pretty dumb, though.
I didn't see her.
She said that she didn't see it because she was busy watching real NBA talent at the U-17 FIBA stuff. It's like, what are we talking about here? Okay. Nice.
Interesting strategy.
Yahoo, you're in the crosshairs, Yahoo.
Interesting strategy. But it was kind of funny looking at her grades for every first-round pick. And again, for those that don't know, and I don't know if we've laid this out, Kristen Peake, Yahoo Sports NBA draft analyst. She's their lead NBA draft analyst. She had Zach Edey as a D. Everybody else was A or B. Everybody else.
It was the most shockingest list I saw.
Shockingest.
He also dropped that. It was a rough night for Yahoo.
Yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. But let's go ahead and grab a break. And then when we come back, we will go ahead and get into hour number two. And leading off hour number two is my guy from the Daily Memphian and also from the Jeff Calkins Show. That's Jeff Calkins. He's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.